We have a praise for Joe Pyatt. He had his knee replacement surgery yesterday at 9:30, and they had him up and walking by 3:30. But while he was resting in the evening, his pulse was going down a little bit, so they sent him to ICU overnight for monitoring.
Yep. I spoke with Neva yesterday evening after our time of worship and intercession at the church. And the doctor comes in and says, "This is interesting." So I told him, "Well, Joe, quit being interesting." But we know that in all things, I kept reminding him this, Neva's heard it from me hundreds of times, and you all have to, in all things, when we're submitted to the Lord, when we love Jesus, we know that in all things, God is working together for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean everything is good, but in it, God is working. Your pulse is dropping. I just believe this. If there's something these doctors need to find, that this is causing them to find it. Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't need to do anything, I believe the Lord's going to cause them to not do anything. But nevertheless, there's some correction that needs to be made, either by Dr. Jesus or by the doctors Jesus is providing. So, Heavenly Father, we do bring Joe before you, and we do thank you, Lord, that in all things you are working together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I know that Joe calls on you. He himself, Lord God, last night asked prayer again, and Lord God, we called upon you together, and we agree together that you are sovereign, you are God, you are in control, and that nothing, Lord God, is happening in Joe's life apart from your will. We pray for the medical staff to have wisdom. We pray for Joe's physical heart, Lord God. We pray that it be strengthened. We pray that you'd correct any issues in his body and that this would be a time of absolute restoration of health and healing. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. I pray for my dear friend Norma Smith, Lord God. She's been having problems with inflammation and swelling in her knees, her body, her hands, Lord God. We speak to that. We speak to that issue. We declare that Norma's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and that health belongs to her because of a covenant through Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would bring correction to this issue. Father, if Norma needs to do something differently, Lord, I believe you lead her to do it. I ask you to put your hand of healing upon her, Lord Jesus, today. I pray over my dear friend Ivan Barrera, Lord. I speak blessing and health over Ivan, Felicia. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're able to touch, Lord God. Those who are listening to us, watching, Lord God, watching this broadcast, God sees you. He is the God who sees you. He knows your life. He knows your situation. He has heard your prayers. I pray, Father, for those who have prayed to you that, Lord, their continued words would line up with the prayer that they've asked. And I pray that you teach us in your word how to speak words of faith. I speak blessing over our listeners in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor, Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
We are back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd.
Wow, we came back just like Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Your title for today is, I'm Just Saying.
I'm Just Saying.
I'm Just Saying.
You know, sometimes we say stuff and, you know, it's not what we really ought to be saying. We go, I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying. It's like, be careful about what you're just saying. Because somebody's listening. Yeah, Alexa is listening. You ever talk about something off the subject, like, you know, you're just sitting in your living room or something, and you're like, I mentioned chocolate cake earlier, so I don't know why I got chocolate cake on the brain today. I ain't had chocolate cake in a long time. Might have to get me some. But you just be talking about something. It could be anything off the wall. And then you turn on later, you open your phone or something, and Google's look, you know, got that, or you turn your TV on and YouTube, you know, and YouTube comes up, hey, how to make chocolate cake. I'm like, whoa, somebody's listening. Yep, somebody's listening. But those somebodies are only trying to sell you stuff. But there is somebody listening who, God your Father, is listening because he is yearning for you to give him words that he can use on your behalf. You know, the word Satan means slanderer or accuser. And the enemy, Satan, always listens too. He personally doesn't listen. Let me get this straight. He's a fallen angel. He'll only be one place at one time. He got a lot of assistance, though. A lot of assistance in the realm of the spirit. Spies, you might call them. And I believe they are very much spying on us and listening in. And at times, they're really provoking. They're trying. They're throwing gas on the fire. When you're having a stupid fire, they're over there throwing the fuel on it, you know. When you're having a flesh fit, you're not having it by yourself, right? You got wordaria, you know. Dirtying all over your life with your dirty words, you know. Wordaria, I call it, you know. Put a diaper on your face. I mean, we had to wear them during COVID, so why don't we, you know, whatever. I'm just having fun. But God wants us to use our faith-filled words, our words of praise and words of worship. He wants to use them to release blessings. Well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He is God. But if God blesses disobedience and disrespect, then he would not be a just God anymore, because just gods do justice. In other words, what you earn, what you deserve, what you sow seeds for, you know. I wasn't going to go to this passage, but I feel prompted of the Holy Spirit to go here. I don't know why for sure, but it's in the very next chapter. It's in Numbers chapter 12. Same subject. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. Let me give you a little background in case you don't know this. Moses, you know, we heard of Moses. He's God's deliverer. Well, who's Miriam? Has his older sister. If you might remember, you can look back, say, remember when Moses was born and Pharaoh had issued, you know, all the Hebrew boys were to be thrown in the Nile, fed to the crocodile god. We're going to decrease the surplus population so they don't get so big they overtake us. we're going to teach them a lesson. So we're going to command all the, when the baby boys are born, throw them in the river, feed them to the crocodile god. Similar to abortion. Moving right along. Well, Moses' parents, according to Hebrews, by faith hid him. By faith. Where does faith come from, Monica?
By hearing.
Okay, so Moses' parents heard from God. Because they said if they did it by faith, they had to hear from God. So they heard from God, hide your baby boy. They hid him for 3 months. But then they couldn't continue to hide him. So they got to do something about it. By faith, they made a basket of reeds. By faith, they put that basket in the river, and he was floated down the river to where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the river. Miriam, Moses' sister, was the one who basically did this on behalf of mom and dad. And she watched baby Moses float up to the princess, Pharaoh's daughter. And then Pharaoh's daughter had the baby got out of the river and whatever, and the little baby Moses is crying like babies do. Miriam shows up and says, hey, would you like for me to find a Hebrew woman who could nurse the baby for you? And Pharaoh's daughter says, yeah, I would. And so Miriam goes back and gets her mama, who is Moses' mother, who has milk in her breast because that's her baby, and she literally gets paid. She literally gets paid by Pharaoh's daughter, take this baby home and raise him to a certain age on my behalf. When he's a little older, bring him back to me, and he'll live in the palace with me. That's what faith will do for you, man. Faith will be amazing, awesome. Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house as a prince of Egypt. You know the story. His sisters marry him. He has another brother also named Aaron. And when God calls Moses to lead the people of Israel out, Moses says, I don't speak well. I stutter, you know. So you guys, what are you sending me for? And God, you know, it's like, that ain't going to fly. You're going, you know, I'm going to give you these signs, these wonders. Moses talks him into this. Let Aaron help me. Let my brother go. Okay. God goes into Aaron can speak. You can do the signs and wonders. So here it is. This is Moses' own siblings. Right now is a good place to say sibling rivalry. So they're his own siblings. And they were people who were right there and saw all the miracles of God. And they saw how God used Moses. They were there when God told Moses, lift up the rod. Why are you complaining about Pharaoh? Lift up. He coming to get you. Yeah, well, you're up against the Red Sea. Yeah, well, lift up the anointing. Lift up the rod in your hand. God said, why are you complaining to me about it? Lift up the rod in your hand. Moses lifted up that rod in his hand. The sea parted. It was God's power, but it was Moses who flipped the switch because God told him to. Okay? He didn't go around just parting stuff to show off. It don't work like that. But they saw all that. They saw how when Moses went out to this tent called the Tabernacle of Meeting, that God's presence would literally come down, and Moses would go in where God was. And Moses actually talked to God, according to scriptures, face to face. Now, he couldn't see God because God was clothed in glory, but he could see the glory of God, and God literally talked to Moses. The Bible says, as a man spoke with his own friend. We're talking about a man who has, at least in Old Testament times, has no equal, not even come close. You say, well, I know about the great prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah, Elisha. Yeah, Moses spoke with God face to face. But his brother and sister were not afraid to oppose him. Watch this. Miriam and Aaron began to do what? What'd they do?
Talk against.
Talk. They began to talk against Moses. You be careful what you say about God's anointed servants. You may or may not agree with everything they say and do, but it's not your job to judge. And listen carefully to this. It's not your job to talk about them. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. They may have been prejudiced, for he had married a Cushite. They said, here's what they said. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And what does the scripture say? And the Lord heard this. Again, in my Bible, I wrote, words matter. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth, my Bible says in verse 3. And at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, the three of them, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. The Lord came down in a pillar cloud, and he stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam, and summoned them to step forward. When both stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, and when I speak with him, I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of God. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Whoop. And the anger of the Lord burned against them. That's the third time we've read that God got angry about people's words. Somebody probably hear me preaching this and they'll go, well, preacher, you need to get out of the Old Testament and get back over here in the New Testament where we live. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 4:6 said, well, that's still Old Testament. I understand that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13. Okay? Make another excuse. Words provoked God. You cannot deny that. You cannot. The only way you deny that is you just say, pam. If their words spoken against God's servant provoked God's anger, if their words complaining against God's circumstance that he had created in their life, God's, listen, manna was miraculous provision from God with everything they needed to live in it. And you know what they did about it? They complained about it. If you complain about the way God provides for you, he's going to take that personally. If you praise about the way God provides for you, he's going to take that personally. Well, I'm just saying. I'm not speaking bad on God or nothing, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm praying and he ain't providing nothing. I'm just saying, I started tithing, my money got worse, you know. It's like, I'm just saying. Well, you better quit saying. You better start, don't quit saying, just change what you're saying, because you're not going to quit saying. So they complained. Verse 10, when the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous. Covered in leprosy, in other words. Woo-hoo, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw she had leprosy, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, don't hold against us the sin we so foolishly committed. Speaking against God's anointed is apparently foolish sin. Don't let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with flesh eaten half away. That would have been the end result of having leprosy. You got ears falling off, stuff like that. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. And the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been disgraced 7 days? That was a Hebrew way, you know, if a father rejected a daughter, you know, she mouthed off or something, and he says he would literally spit in her face, and she would be put out for at least 7 days as a punishment. The people, Miriam, verse 15, was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move. They didn't go on. Remember, they were just roaming around camping until she was brought back. After that, the people left. So Miriam had 7 days of looking at her own skin with all this leprosy, which was like the scariest disease they knew back then. She had 7 days to think about it. I want to point something out. I saw this the other day. What about Aaron? It doesn't say anything happened to Aaron. Wonder who started the complaining. I'm just saying. Just saying. I'll see what Jesus got to say about it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, because I've spent some time here in the Old Testament. And I'm a New Testament believer and New Testament preacher. You can tell if you look at my Bible. Can't find anything up in here in the New Testament ain't marked. Matthew 12. I'm going to pick it up in verse 22. I'm going to try to hurry here. So stay with me. I'm going to read quickly. Verse 22 through 37. They brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished, said, "Could this be the son of David," the Messiah, in other words? But when the Pharisees, the religious police, heard it, they said, "It's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons," that's another name for the devil, by the way, Satan, "that this fellow drives out demons." And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city and household divided against itself will not stand." That's why we need to pray for a revival in America. "If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? And so they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man, and then he can rob the house?" And he said this, "He who's not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." Where, how are you living your life? Are you gathering or scattering? "So I tell you, every sin, every blasphemy will be forgiven men." Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. "But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Holy Spirit, against the Son of Man, will be forgiven." Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness for that. Amen. "But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven either in this age or in the age to come." It's called the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Is that what that says? Because I didn't read it like that. I can't find that. And I'm sorry. I apologize if that hurts you, but I can't find that there. The context of the scripture is this. The Holy Spirit is moving in power. Jesus is delivering the demonically oppressed from an oppression that literally causes them to be mute. And the Pharisees don't like it. And so they attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of the devil. They say, "That's the devil. That's the devil right there. That's the devil right there." That is the context of the scripture. You cannot say it's anything else. You got to be finding it somewhere else. In this passage, that is the context. And Jesus said this, "I tell you that every word spoken against the Father can be forgiven. Every word spoken against the Son can be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven in this life or in the life to come." I thank God that when I was young, I didn't even know about the Holy Spirit because I was so stupid and ignorant. I might have said something I would have never been able to recover from. And that's generally the case with most people. But I'm going to tell you this. Be very careful. Be very careful about what you decide is of the devil and what is of God. If you don't know, you just keep your mouth shut. You just leave it up to God. Say, you know what? God knows. God knows whether that's good or bad. God knows. It ain't my job. I just trust that God's going to take care. You know what? Leave it at that. Leave it at that. And if people are being, lives are being changed and transformed for the good and Jesus being glorified, don't despise who and how God might be using. And don't speak against them. You might get some spiritual leprosy or something. Spiritual leprosy. And so Jesus went on. Verse 33. "Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." Now, you know as well as I do, he ain't talking about trees. He's using that as an example. He says to the Pharisees, it doesn't say he says to the Pharisees, but we know from context that that's who he's talking about. He goes, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Somebody said, "Man, I got a problem with my mouth." The problem with your mouth is your heart. And I ain't talking about your blood pumper. I'm talking about your spirit. And the problem with your spirit is this. It's just like this computer right here. Garbage in, garbage out. Put the good in, the good's going to come out. Guard your eyes. Guard what you hear. Guard what you listen to. You say, well, I can't control everything people say to me. People blaspheming God all around me all day at work, and I can't change it. You can't change what comes out of their mouth, but you can change what goes into your heart. Every time they say ugly words, you just disagree with it on the inside. If you're the boss, shut them down and tell them, you know what, we don't talk like that here. When I had authority at the crude oil refinery, what I worked at before I was a preacher, I was a born-again child of God, loved Jesus. Them people come in there and talk every kind of way. But I got them to where they didn't talk every kind of way around me. So speak up. Most people don't even realize they're using the Lord's name in vain, especially men. They think I'm macho to talk ugly. It's not. It's stupid and childish. That's the truth of the matter. And then used to, women didn't talk like that, but now there ain't no difference. You're just likely to get cussed by a woman as a man, maybe more likely. Honestly, but we don't have to take it to our heart. So Jesus is saying, you know what? Just like a tree, the fruit of a tree tells you what the tree is, the words of my mouth tell you what I am. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he said this, and we'll be done. A good man brings forth good things, or good words, literally, out of the good that's stored up in him. What's in your hard drive? What have you been putting in? Do you watch movies where they cuss and you don't care? That's why you cuss. You listen to garbage? That's why garbage comes out. You say, well, I don't have a problem with cussing, but I'm just very negative. Quit listening to negativity. Start listening to praise. Start listening to worship. Get around people who don't murmur and complain. If you're around people who murmur and complain, disagree with them. You say, well, I can't disagree with them. I'll get fired. Don't disagree with them out loud. Disagree with them in here. Hello. It's your brain. It's your mind. It's your thoughts. It's your feelings. It's your emotions. It's yours, 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 yours. No one else can force you to think or feel anything. Somebody, I'm just saying, I feel blah, blah, blah. Well, I said, well, quit it. I can't help my feelings. Yes, you can. You change your feelings by changing your thoughts. You can arrest those thoughts, take captive thoughts that are not obedient to Christ, and make your thoughts be what you want them to be. Because words matter. And Jesus in Matthew 6, he said, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink? Remember that? We don't have time to look at that, but he said that. He goes, why do you worry about clothes? Why do you worry about food? God clothes the flowers of the field. He feeds the birds. He goes, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Do you catch that? Don't worry what? Saying. You know why worry is so bad? Because you start saying what you're worrying about. And then the enemy goes, aha! And God goes, oh, give me some faith words. I know you're worried. I know you're concerned. I know your mind imagines things that are not good and things you hope don't happen. But don't talk about what you don't want. Talk about what you do want. Find the promise of God and speak the promise. Put the good in and what's going to come out? The good. And if you put the bad in, you can't help it, but the bad's going to come out. And then we're finished with these two. This last two verses, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless or idle word that they've spoken. And then in verse 37, you need to understand the context. Again, he's standing there. He's got the disciples. He's got the crowd who love him, who are hungering for his words, and who just saw him deliver the demonic-possessed person. And he's got the Pharisees who said, well, what he did is of the devil. They're still all standing there. He never stopped talking. They're still. It just happens in a matter of seconds. From the time he casts out the demon to where we're at now, it happens in less than 30 seconds. And he said this. He said, for by your words, you will be acquitted. He's looking at the people, the disciples. He goes, by your words, you're going to be acquitted. You confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You ask God for forgiveness with words. You're going to be acquitted. And then he turns to the Pharisees. And he says, and by your words, you'll be condemned. See, the reason I know, he said, well, the Bible don't say he said it to this one and he said it to that one. Can you be acquitted and condemned at the same time? No. you either are acquitted or you are condemned. So he's definitely not saying that to the same person. By your words, you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned. No, you're either going to be acquitted by your words or you're going to be condemned by your words. That's the only two options. So let me just ask this. When you think and you say to yourself, I'm just saying, are you just saying words that acquit you? In other words, cause you to be declared innocent, or if not innocent, justified by the grace of Jesus Christ? Are you giving God words of faith and praise and honor and glory? Are you giving God's words of repentance when you need to? Or are you just saying? And the words that you're just saying, the enemy is going to use them to condemn you because he's the condemner. And when it comes time for the judgment, Jesus himself said the Father's not going to judge. He is given all judgment over to the Son, but Jesus said, neither do I judge you. The words that I've spoken are going to judge you. In other words, if you've heard me preach this today, you can't claim ignorance. If you stand before God in heaven and you go, well, I didn't know it really made that much difference what I said. I thought it was just important what I believed. Ain't going to fly. You're held accountable. And by your words, you're going to be acquitted. I'm just going to speak that over you. By your words, you're going to be acquitted. Celebrate. By your words, you're going to be acquitted. So I'm going to use some good acquittal words, praise words, gratitude words, thanks words, awesome words. Amen. I don't know how to talk properly. Well, just fill your heart full of the Word of God. Fill your ears, your mind, and your heart with worship. Surround yourself as much as possible with people of faith. Isolate yourself from negativity as much as possible. And you'd be amazed at all the wonderful, faith-filled words that will just flow out of you naturally. And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying you're never going to say something you shouldn't say. But if you slip and you say something you shouldn't say, you can use words to bring about an acquittal. You say, Father, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. God, I just forgive me, please, Father, I pray. And if you're tempted to criticize another person, you're not their judge. If you're tempted to complain, don't. Because by your words, God will use them for you. The enemy will use them against you. Amen. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've given us this instruction. Lord, you didn't make that the law and then not tell us about it. You told us exactly what's expected. And you empower us to do it. I pray for your people that your word gets so planted in us that's what comes out. I ask it for myself, for my sisters in this room, and for every one of us who call on the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your grace and your love. Amen and amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.